All right, that's all you get.
What?
Well, you don't get any Thursday music.
No.
Nah.
No drumming today. No.
Now, we're just setting up the drums.
Well, it takes a while.
We're getting ready.
It's a big set.
We got to tune those Zildjians.
I was going to ask what brand these are. I wasn't looking.
Ludwigs and Zildjians, brother.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Only the best for Bob Rose.
I know there's some people that are Pearl fans, etc., but yeah. Not that I know too much about it. I do have a set of Ludwigs.
Yeah?
I sold off the Zildjians, I think, to foot the bill for a keg party or something back in the day. But, yeah.
Wow, that was a good investment.
That was a regretful move, I do have to say. Those the cymbals were pristine because I never, hardly ever played the drums. I took drum lessons as a kid.
Yeah?
And the stupid drum teacher, this is back when, you know, hippies were still hippies.
Yeah?
He showed up when he wanted, you know? Hey, dudes. Mm. Sorry I'm late, man. Take out your little... They were these little pads that you would... That was your practice pad.
Oh, so it wouldn't be too loud.
But not everybody could afford a snare drum right off the bat. Come on.
Good point.
Well, rich suburban kids like you, Greg. Some of us struggled, I tell
you.
No, true story.
Yeah.
My mom sometimes would get us a ride there, but it was Rinky Elementary. It wasn't the closest elementary. It wasn't even the second closest. So it was a bit of a walk, especially for like, I don't know, what was I, 10 or 11? And so my mom would walk home with me. We're talking several miles.
Wow.
In the dark, in suburban.
Uphill both ways. So Rinky, is that the name of the school?
Yeah.
So was it a small school?
Like Rinky Dink? No, actually the family owned a big old dealership called Rinky Chevrolet. So,
oh.
Yeah, family had been around for a while.
Oh, this just in. We are still not at war with Iran.
Greg, I didn't quite catch that. We're what?
We are not at war with Iran right now.
We're not at war.
No.
Okay.
No,
that's not. And we're not trying to make any kind of a bit or shtick about it.
No, it's like an ongoing thing. It's like, oh, where are we?
So, well, yeah, because people, when they wake up, they tune in and they go, man, I wonder if stuff's hit the fan. What's going on? I'm glad Bob and Greg are on the air. That's one step in the right direction that humankind is surviving. And then from there, they want to know, man, are rockets flying? So far, so good. We have some level of peace, and we hope that's maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go from there.
I guess Hegseth will be filling us in a little more on some stuff later from last week. So,
who will be?
Hegseth, I think. Is
oh, Pete Hegseth, yes. Yeah, the secretary. Yeah, he's going to have a press conference a little bit later on to talk about Operation Midnight Hammer.
I like that.
The neighbors don't.
No. It's like you on the drums as a kid.
Yeah, kind of like that. All right. By the way, I don't think I mentioned these things. Like, it is 6:10, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Well, good morning and welcome. It is Thursday, Friday Eve, we like to call it. And one of your top stories... Listen to this. One of the CNN reporters behind an anonymously sourced report stating that the U.S. strikes on Iran did not destroy key components of the nuclear sites, the same reporter,
yes,
also wrote the story in which over 50 former intelligence officials claimed the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation in 2020. Huh.
Credibility questioning anyone?
No.
Wow.
Coincidence?
So the same one that said, Russian disinformation says, nothing's really destroyed there in Iran.
Just really lucky to have the big stories.
What a coincidence.
Yes.
Which you don't believe in.
Not so much. CNN reporter Natasha Bertrand, along with Katie Bo Lillis and Zachary Cohen, published the article, which draws on a description of an early U.S. intelligence assessment from various anonymous sources on Wednesday. The story stated that core components of Iran's nuclear program were not destroyed in Operation Midnight Hammer, and the mission likely only set it back a few months. Okay, put all the partisanship aside, and let's be honest brokers here. That was an assessment that was done very, very early on. I can tell you this right now. The highest level of military folks in Iran were not able to make any assessments during that time period. Okay? So for us to have some sort of intel and ability to make any kind of determination, apparently this is part of a larger report, and it's not even been vetted. They leaked it. It's almost like somebody wrote a little piece of it and leaked it, you know.
Right.
With the only part of it that maybe could make the president maybe not look great, or it try to make the overwhelmingly successful mission look less successful. Now, wait, who would ever do that? Huh? The same people.
Yeah.
The same people that would lie and go, yeah, that Hunter laptop thing. Oh, no, that's Russian disinformation. I'm glad that there is a connection here. So maybe people will start to recognize. See, here's the problem. And I don't know how much it'll get talked about in an open forum. I don't know if Pete Hegseth, how deep he'll go into this. This gets very, very tricky. It really does. We've got a problem. And I stated this a couple of years ago at the very least, if not for... No, I started talking about this a long time ago. The intelligence community, so to speak, okay, air quotes, intelligence community, mm-hmm. They are way too powerful. You know who's afraid of the intelligence community? Pretty much every politician.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Do you realize, and this is not hyperbole, I don't have to... You could, I don't know, look to Hollywood just for ideas. If intelligence groups want to set anybody up, if they decide that, yep, we're going to set you up, it's almost impossible to defend against.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you know, all 535 Congress folks or whatever, they know that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 545 now.
Yeah, they
something
know.
Something like that. But they know, and they're afraid, even when they're on the Intel, you know, oversight committees and things like that. It's a beast. Really, we've developed a beast. And what's even worse than the kind of power that they have, it's how some of them wield it. And like so many other jobs today, some people feel like, oh, I can use my job to further a political agenda, an ideology. If you're an intelligence operative, analyst, and you have this, what I would call a warped sense, that's a very frightening rogue kind of a scenario. That's exactly the people that signed off on that letter. And look, it goes all the way to the top in some cases. James Clapper and John Brennan are two scum-sucking vermin who never should have ever been allowed to have the kind of power that they had over the CIA. And it's... I don't know what to do about it exactly, to be honest with you. 6:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Yep, happy, happy Thursday. We've got a lot more to talk about, including an IDF chief and what he says and some of the info that he's passing along about the bombing in Iran. It's all coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Another day in paradise. Rise and shine, my friends. Let's pump it up. It is 6:21. You've got the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Don't forget, the Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show, like the great interviews we had with Congresswoman Kat Kamick yesterday. She told us about these death threats, and that's both awful and crazy, and having to deal with that and her staff, as you heard on the news a couple minutes ago. Also, we talked to Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. So always doing some great stuff, and you can always catch up with the Bob Rose Show podcast. All right. We need a good story.
Okay.
By the way, hold it.
Yes.
We are not at war right now.
Oh, good. With Iran? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Just to make sure. Okay.
It's still... All is quiet.
Yes.
On the Middle Eastern front.
That's good
to
know.
Can I say it like that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good to know.
So, you want to spend some quality time with your daughter, right? Right, Dad? Take her down the river, do a little paddling, looking you know, some of the turtles nest and stuff like that. You're just, you know, you're having a good time.
Sounds fun.
And that's exactly what a father-daughter duo we're doing down the Bogchito River, which I'm not familiar with, via kayak to look at softshell turtle eggs near the town of Bogalusa. Hmm. That sounds like a wild party town, doesn't it? Boga. We're going to cut loose in Bogalusa.
Could be.
Anyway, so it's Michael Painter, 46 years old, and he is with his 10-year-old daughter. And, okay, they're having a great time. No drama.
Okay.
And they, you know, they stop in one of the areas they're at. It's like there's like a little bluff there and stuff. Well, Dad's 46. Look, he still thinks he's cool. And he had to show off for his little girl, you know. And he's like, watch this.
Oh.
And he was going to do, like, you know, a running front flip into the water. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he did that a million times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many years it's been since he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
But he loses his footing and ends up driving his head straight into a pile of big jagged rocks laying along the bottom of the river.
This happens more than we know. Yeah.
And in his mind, as he retells it, he thought he was swimming to the surface. He said the water was only a few feet above my head, but he was confused because he wasn't really getting anywhere.
Wow.
Because he was paralyzed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he said, I could feel my heels dragging along the bottom.
Wow, that's
scary. Yeah, he realized then he was paralyzed. He had broken a vertebrae, bruised his spine. He said, I was helpless and hopeless. And he thought he was swimming. His arms were just dangling there by his side.
Isn't
what
that
a frightening
weird
feeling. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And he also could see blood all around him in the water.
Mm.
At first, his daughter, Carson, 10, thought Dad was being, you know, Dad. You know, Dad's fake,
sure,
fake
yeah
you out,
yeah,
you know. And then she saw the blood. She raced to the river, tripped and fell. She collected herself, sprinted toward her dad. I can't hold my breath anymore, he was thinking. I'm fixing to die. This is it.
Oh.
Recounting his feeling of despair. I'm preparing for it, and I know it's going to hurt. At that moment, he was about to surrender to his fate. He felt his daughter's hand. She grabbed my hand. That was the biggest relief in my life. And she was smart enough to position her dad's limp head so he could actually breathe as she dragged him to the best of her ability to the sandbar.
She's 10?
Yes, and he's 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
She weighs 70 pounds. But, you know, in the water, you get a little bit of a break.
Sure.
Just enough of a break for her to be able to drag him as far as she possibly could. Of course, she was a mess, and he was trying to calm her down. He could speak. He said, I'm okay, but I need you to do something. He gave her explicit instructions to paddle toward the car and grab his keys from his hat along the river.
Okay.
Then he told her to get his cell phone from the car, find service, and call for help. Remember, she's 10 years old.
Wow.
I don't know if she's even been in a kayak before. I think they rented him for this thing. He said, man, it was just hard to let my little girl go down that river by herself. He said, I'm risking her life to save mine. So there's that feeling, too. She was scared to death. It's dangerous for a kid by herself. He said as long as he could hear the sound of her paddling, he knew she was okay. But then worry started to set in as soon as he couldn't hear her anymore. And then, are you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden, a wicked thunderstorm just busts out, lightning streaking through the sky. He said, it's the damnedest flood you've ever seen. My head sticking out of the water.
Wow.
Sand slapping at my face, hitting my eyes. An hour later, just when he was about to give up hope again. An hour. Think about that.
Hmm.
He heard the sound of a boat motor. Carson had made it to the car after all. First thing she did was call 911. Then, all of Painter's friends, they formed an informal rescue armada and headed for him. Paramedics arrived and got him back to the road. They put his neck in a brace. And, of course, he remembers how happy he was when he saw Carson poke over the top. His heart flooded with relief.
That's amazing.
And he did, he got his, feeling back and all that. He still has to do some physical therapy, but they said, you came as close to being permanently paralyzed as you can. Isn't that a crazy, though, story with a good outcome?
Love that.
Yeah. Love the outcome. Kid never gave up, 10 years old. Yeah, that's kind of a sense of valor. That's what we spotlight when we talk about some of our first responders and law enforcement officers, and we'll do that again this morning at 8:35. Right now, it's 6:28, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Shining the spotlight on those who go above and beyond. We're talking first responders, law enforcement. We appreciate them, and we highlight that throughout the month of June. And we'll do it again this morning at 8:35, thanks to Campus USA Credit Union, Lawful Defense, and Shoot GTR. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Almost Friday. I think we're going to make it. And right now, a relative peace, as far as we know. No missiles flying.
Nope.
So if you're checking in to see, World War III, no.
Well, it didn't happen. Yeah, it's almost like since it didn't happen, they've got to make it. Oh, well, what he did do was a total failure. I mean, have you noticed that kind of trend there?
Yeah, I have.
Probably not a coincidence.
To try to undermine and diminish at any opportunity they can the president and
yeah.
And if it's collateral damage that somehow besmirches the fine work that the pilots did, the planners, everybody associated with the mission,
They don't care. They don't care.
This mission was absolutely a huge success. We're talking Operation Midnight Hammer. We'll get into that a little bit. Closer to home, Florida had some tornado action.
Oh, man, big time.
I saw one. Some off somebody's camera,
mm-hmm.
where it took like a mobile home,
yeah,
and lifted it off its foundation, kind of tossed it aside,
just like it was nothing.
Yeah,
which they do that. That's true.
And there also was drone footage capturing multiple sharks near Honeymoon Island in Dunedin, including what appears to be a large hammerhead. Huh? How do they know from the water it's a Democrat?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
It is.
Specifically, footage taken on June 25th showed dozens of sharks swimming near the Dunedin Causeway. One drone operator reported seeing about 40 blacktip sharks, followed by two larger sharks. These sightings have been described as Shark Alley.
Ooh. It's probably the coexist bumper sticker. That's probably what gave it away.
I was just telling you when we first talked about the story earlier, when we were in our hours of preparatory time. And I said, I got good memories. Dunedin Causeway with the kids. And I took the, normally I don't, I hate the kayak. And, but we rented them and they were the kind you rode on top like, and I felt a little more stable.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the only enjoyable experience that I had. And it was beautiful and the water was nice. And we went across to a little island. So we went right across that little area they're talking about.
But boy, you watch this video, that would keep you out of it. It's a lot of sharks.
I mean,
all in the same place.
Will they eat me while I'm on it? Will they look at the kayak as sort of a cracker?
Could be.
The morsel on the cracker kind of thing?
Bob, the appetizer.
Like people that eat their oysters, some like them on a cracker.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, are the sharks the same way? I don't want to find out firsthand.
There's a bunch of them,
though.
Thank you. For sure.
But yeah, so if you're heading over that way, well, look, it's Florida.
Yes. Gators and sharks. We got them, right? Surprise.
Yeah, you can't have everything, because other than that, it would be paradise.
That's
so we
got
to have something to sort of chase some people out, right?
Uh-huh.
But the tornadoes, which, fairly rare occurrence, not...
Compared to the Midwest, it's rare, yes.
And generally, much smaller and wreak less havoc.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they shouldn't be taken as seriously, because at times they... they are big and they can do a lot of damage. Even ones that aren't big, you get winds up to the speeds of some of this.
Yeah, it'll mess with you.
When you get on that Fukushima scale, you know, when you're up there on the Fukushima.
It's one thing I don't miss about the Midwest is, the tornadoes that pop up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go, hey, we're taking out your house. Not the ones next door. We're taking out your house. And they can do that.
But don't worry. We won't destroy your whole house. Right. We'll leave one room intact.
It's crazy what they
do. Yeah, even the little collectibles on mom's dresser
will still be there.
Won't be knocked over. Uh-huh. But the rest of your house will virtually disappear.
Amazing.
It will be nothing larger than a small stick. It is.
It is. It's crazy.
It is. Well, that's why they call it God's finger. Right? Not God giving you the finger.
Well, yeah,
although,
I get you. Right. Yeah. You know feel that way.
If you get
hit by a tornado.
No, don't blame God.
No.
Mm-mm. Anyway.
Insurance companies like to do that. So. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, God did that. We're not. We don't cover that.
Yeah, right. An act of God.
On some things, yeah.
All right. Where did I want to go with it? Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. We touched on this earlier, and our news department's handling it, but Congresswoman Kat Kamick.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big story for us locally, of course, but it's national news as well. Even Fox has picked up on it.
Well, she mentioned it yesterday when she was on the show, but it seems like it's gotten ratcheted up now.
Yeah, and if you did miss it on the show and you want to hear it, look for the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get them. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. North Central Florida, U.S. Representative Kat Kamick, this according to Fox News, shared on social media Wednesday night that their office was evacuated following death threats against her, her family, and her staff. You knew that. The congresswoman alleges that she has been a repeat victim of the threats following an exclusive with the Wall Street Journal in which she spoke about an expelled pregnancy in May of last year. These threats erupted after the Wall Street Journal reported on my life-threatening ectopic pregnancy. Women, especially those who are trying to, you know, conceive or those who've had babies, they probably are pretty well educated on what that is.
Yeah.
But it's a non-viable pregnancy with no heartbeat, and it's not going anywhere.
No.
It's not where the egg is not where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, she said, we've received thousands of hate-filled messages and dozens of credible threats from pro-abortion activists, which law enforcement is actively investigating. And, Kamick's ectopic pregnancy occurred shortly after the state's heartbeat law went into effect. Kamick noted the threats came after the publication of the Wall Street Journal interview, which noted that the lawmaker, who is against abortion, she is pro-life, supports exceptions for rape and incest and instances in which the mother's life is at risk. She said, to those spreading misinformation, I did not vote for Florida's heartbeat law. I serve in the U.S. House of Representatives, not the Florida legislature.
These people need to maybe get a little basic lesson in politics and politicians and what positions are.
They're
what.
They're just mean, ugly idiots looking for any excuse to be mean and ugly.
Yep.
Let me be clear, she said. I will not be intimidated. I won't back down in the fight for women and families. Ensuring women have the resources and care they deserve is critical. We need real conversations about maternal health care in America. Conversations based on truth. Not fear.
You go, Cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Thursday. Oh, there's plenty of stuff to be talking about next, including who leaked the bad intel.
Ooh.
Details on that coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Happy Thursday. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 6:50, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Hey, Chucky Schumer has been hospitalized. No joke and no need to joke. He was feeling lightheaded while working out at the gym. Doesn't look like an iron pumping guy. Didn't look like a gym rat, but hey, you know.
He's doing something.
He was in the Senate gym. He got lightheaded, spokesman for Schumer said in a statement. Out of an abundance of caution, they did take him to the hospital, and he was treated for dehydration. He's now back at work at the Capitol. Very common thing. Yep. They've had a heat wave in D.C. You're working out. You're at an advanced age, and I'm not picking on him. I'm getting there myself. We all are, hopefully. And our sense of thirst diminishes sometimes with time, and that we need to remind ourselves, drink water and things like that before you get thirsty, especially if you know you're going to work out, if you're going to be out in hotter weather, et cetera, and then maybe just out of habit. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, I don't wish the guy any ill will. I mean, politically, he's
wackadoodle.
Well,
technical term.
You want to say that, but what's happened, the Democrat Party has pulled so much further ahead and left of him.
Oh, my goodness.
That he'll always be Chucky.
Yes.
He's not as he's not quite as crazy as the rest of them. But,
that's true. But, I mean.
But he tries.
The squad have raised the bar, so you'll never compete with that.
Well, now, here's my wish. Okay? I hope. After all this, and they treated him and everything, mm-hmm. I hope he's cured. Because, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It appears that old Chucky's been lightheaded for a decade at least. Thank you very much.
I tell you, though, they have kind of, they're kind of pushing him to the curb a little bit, it seems like, lately.
Well, this is going to be interesting because, of course, he represents New York.
Right.
And the Dems just voted in that. Wow, he is like a kook, that guy.
Oh, for the Dem.
Oh yeah,
yeah, the primary.
Mama's boy.
Mama me.
Mama for everybody. Yeah. Socialism should be your mama.
Yeah.
Mom Donnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he is as socialist as they come.
Yeah, I even wrote down here. This guy is kooky far left. He's a kooky far left lefty.
Oh yeah.
He really is.
Total socialist.
He wants to have free buses running for everybody. That has to be somehow paid for. And like city-owned grocery stores, meaning giving groceries away?
Is there a little thing called a budget and deficit that maybe he's not familiar with in a socialistic mentality?
You know what some people are, speculating, like, make these outrageous promises.
Sure.
Some people will get suckered in, reeled in, and they'll believe you, and they'll vote for him. And then maybe he will even attempt to institute some of this. And then New York will be flushed down the toilet. Oh, but you know what'll happen then? They'll all cry like babies, even though they voted for this idiot. Help us. Help us. And they'll expect some kind of federal bailout.
Uh-huh.
To that I say, H-E, double hockey sticks, no.
Not sure what hockey has to do with anything, but I get your point.
Well, yeah, I want to slap him upside the head with a, here's your slap shot, buddy.
I mean, Trump was kind of going off on him, which he's, will probably continue to do so.
And remember, so think about this guy and his mindset.
Yeah.
Think about AOC. She loves him. She loves
that
him.
That should tell you something.
Now, Schumer said nice things like, he ran a great campaign, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Not an outright endorsement, but I think that, honestly, Chucky's getting too old to fight the fight within his party. All his energy goes to bashing President Trump and coming up with outrageous, stupid things that he reads to us so we see the top of his head and occasionally the rim of his glasses.
Pretty much. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, and here's de Blasio, the worst mayor.
Goodness.
The worst mayor comes out to defend the possibility of this new wacky mayor. And but here's a guy you can trust, though, right? Bill de Blasio?
Yeah.
He can trust
him. How's that?
I was being sarcastic. Former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio told Fox News Wednesday he believes fears over Zohran Mamdani's win in the Democrat primary are greatly exaggerated. Yeah. Now, he is a 33-year-old Democratic socialist endorsed by Bernie Sanders and AOC.
That's all you need to know right there.
Claimed a victory in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary Tuesday after former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo conceded the race. Now, the race's outcome will still need to be decided by a ranked count on July 1st. His far-left policy proposals have caused angst among more moderate Democrats. Where are the moderate Democrats?
I was going to say, really? Are there any left?
Yeah. Yeah, when things were brought up to de Blasio about, like, creating free bus networks, expanding grocery stores, implementing rent control, that's been tried, by the way, in other cities already, very unsuccessfully, he said these are not staggering ideas. If he wants to tax the wealthy, he has to get the approval of the legislature. He may or may not get it. Okay. Wow. We don't need, hey, no offense to New Yorkers, they're already here. We just don't need lots more, not just from New York, from anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Fix your own state. Daggone it.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, 97.3 The Sky.